News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. All right, moving forward in my triple dipper. The whole thing today is going to be just, there's some infuriating things happening out there. I look at it and go, wow, how do they sleep at night? You know, you look at this and go, man, that's just amazing, the fact that we can have, like, education policy that does nothing, while at the same time we got kids coming to school who are hungry, but we're going to threaten their free and reduced lunch program that's been in place for, you know, what, how long, decades, and say that those kids who may not get a full meal at home, they may not get a full meal at school, because, you know, that state doesn't have the right transgender policies in place. Never mind the fact that there are no laws in place that require those transgender policies. Never mind the fact that, once again, we're looking at an agenda-driven federal administration that is willing to go ahead and overreach and, you know, hurt kids in the process in this case. So, yeah, I take issue with this. And it's like that story I told a moment ago about me as a kid walking through the airport. I didn't know any better. I didn't know what was going on. Who's this lady? Who are these people in robes? Why are you holding my arm? I've got to go somewhere. What are you talking about? I don't know what that book is. I have some money. Sure. Okay. Here. You know, oh, all I have is a 20. That'll do. Snatch. It was unbelievable. But that's the way I feel that the government is doing when it acts like this. So the story that I referenced, one of them, I just pulled one of them that I referenced in my monologue. This one came off Fox News. Dated actually today. Biden's transgender blackmail threatens low-income Americans. And here it is. The U.S. Department of Agriculture, it says, has plenty to worry about, which is what makes their campaign pitting transgender policies against food security even more baffling. So here we are looking at record-high food prices, USDA. Here we are looking at whether or not the farm-to-market is going to be enhanced or hampered by fuel prices. Here we are looking at USDA, the ability to do more ethanol, which means you have to also oversee the corn situation. Not that I want the ethanol, I'm just saying that falls under their purview. All of this, and yet what they're worried about is making sure that, you know, transgender sexual orientation, gender identity policies are in place in the states. Otherwise, they may have to withhold that food money, you know? And Fox did. Fox calls it right here in this article I've got in my hands. It's nothing short of food security blackmail. And this is so true. It says, right now, as farmers and ranchers feel the squeeze of supply chain shortages, as fertilizer becomes increasingly scarce and more expensive, and global wheat shortage could be looming, it's created a threat to the world's food supply chain, and other food support shortages may follow. The USDA is looking at food security blackmail on gender identity and equity and in whatever other intersectionality they can create. This is the kind of thing that galls me. This is where our state leadership has got to lead. Now, what's going to wind up happening is, if these policies are allowed to stand, if these policies are allowed to stand, and we wind up seeing the regulatory burdens enhanced by these policies I'm talking about, then the state governments will have a choice. Do we acquiesce and say, well, I guess we can pass something that says they can use the bathroom of their choice or something, you know, something. What's the minimum we got to do? We got to do something. No, you don't. You don't have to do anything. What you could do is tell them to go pound sand. We got to feed the kids. Take them to court, please. Make them prove their case. Make them say why they will not feed our kids and get away with it. Make them say why they think they can enforce this regulatory burden, which has nothing to do with feeding underprivileged children. Make them toe the line. Make them stand in front of a judge and say why they think they can get away with this. Because, folks, I'm just going to tell you, it ain't right. And it's more than ain't right. I think it's illegal and immoral and unethical. And so, yes, we're going to wind up having to see a choice. If this regulatory burden is allowed to perpetrate itself upon the American people, then we're going to wind up seeing a choice. And who you elect makes a difference. Next Tuesday, you still got some state legislative races to decide. Next Tuesday, you still got your U.S. Senate race to decide. And those kind of decision makers are the ones that will impact regulatory burdens like what I just described. And truth be told, you really need that at the state level because the state's going to have to push back against the federal level. The state attorney general, the state legislature, and for that matter, the state governor. And I am not seeing that level of willpower out of our current legislative body as a whole. There's individual members of the body, some of whom live and work right within this listening area. We got some solid people in there, but we got some that are just weak sisters that go down there and like, how do I keep my job? I got elected so I could get reelected. How do I keep my job? What do I have to do? Can we spend more money? Stop it. What we need is some people who are willing to say with backbone, that is wrong, and we will push back on it. All right, I know we're up against a break. So listen, we are going to go to this break right now. Come right back to number one in the Triple Dipper. I call it Show Me the Money. And we're going to talk about where the money's been going because, wow, a lot of it is out there, and they can't quite account for it. How much are you talking about, Phil? Oh, like maybe, I don't know, billions? What? Yeah. We'll talk about that when I get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. So, yep, it is 2:36 PM. It is Thursday. We are one step closer to the weekend, and it is daggum hot outside. I mean, like, wow. Copper, do you have those storms up there where you live last night? Did you have some major storms come through?
We did earlier in the afternoon, but not in the evening.
Man, I'm going to tell you right now, where we're at 9 o'clock or so last night. I mean, like a red cell, like you wouldn't believe, came through to the point that I wondered if we had a tornado brewing up. I was literally was blowing things around on the deck outside. I had to go out there and move things in, up close to the house, and they had straight line winds of something like 50 and 60 miles an hour. It was like wow, but that's summer in Alabama as the heat and the humidity generates those pop up storms. But anyway, welcome to Alabama, Copper.
Right.
all right, listen, I'm in number one of the Triple Dipper. I'm calling this one Show Me the Money. The thing is, they can't show you the money because they don't know where it is. that's not always true, but it's true too many times. So I got several things here. Let me just run through a few of them. Things that you need to know because it's your taxpayer dollars, especially those of y'all that consider yourselves to be fiscal hawks or fiscal conservatives. Yeah. Here's one from the Epoch Times. U.S. Representative Ted Budd. All right. It says the title of it is Budd says $863 million in Biden stimulus payments went to 597,000 prison inmates. All right. Now you look at this and go, okay, sometimes you may think $863 million, but we have like a multi-trillion-dollar budget. This is like a rounding error. No, well, okay, if you want to go that way, then you really don't care about fiscal policy. What we need to look at here is how this happened. So Department of the Treasury data, it says, released by U.S. Representative Ted Budd, Republican of North Carolina, reveals that at least $863 million in economic impact payments under Joe Biden's American Rescue Plan, that's the ARPA plan, went to more than 597,000 incarcerated individuals in 20. What that means is, because all of those people are in the system, what that means is they didn't bother to check. What that means is they didn't do any due diligence. They just said, cut the checks, get the money out, get the money out. And in the meantime, nearly 600,000 incarcerated individuals received upwards of close to $1 billion. And that's a disgrace, said Representative Budd. And I agree. I mean, it is not that hard to get this squared away. It is not that hard to look through the details and to double check a few things. We're not even allowed to see tax credits given on certain things like, you know, there's the work opportunity tax credit. It's called the WOTC. The work opportunity tax credit is where you get a credit as an employer for hiring someone from a certain demographic or someone who's been in jail or someone who is literally you know, out there trying to find a job, and they come from a disadvantaged demographic. As you can go and check. That's what you have to do. To give the credit, you have to check with the systems in state government that already give you that insight. It's not like it's hidden. All you got to do is a cursory check. Have they received Social Security? Yes. Have they ever been in prison? Yes. Are they a black female? Yes. And all these things are readily available. Well, so is being in prison. In fact, in response to Bud's request, the Assistant Secretary for Legislative Affairs said that the department was unable to answer the North Carolina Republican's question regarding whether the checks were paid directly to the inmates, deposited by prison officials in the inmates' individual jail accounts, or given to third parties such as family members. They can't tell. Here's the quote, though. It says, a query for the period beginning in April of 2020 and ending on the date of the letter identified approximately 62,000 economic impact payment paper checks valued at $74.6 million that were deposited in the Department of Justice's Federal Bureau of Prisons Prisoner Trust Fund accounts. In other words, they could check. They went on to say, now, we can't check the state level, but you know what? That's when you ask the state. Hey, state, before we send a check, is this person on your rolls? Yes. No check. What did they do, though? They just cut checks and mailed them. They didn't ask for any validation. They didn't double check to make sure the person was even alive. And they certainly didn't look in their own database, which obviously they can do because when the congressman asked for the information, they went back and checked and they went, huh, yeah, sure enough, look at that. 62,000 of them. Well, I guess we should have checked that, Congressman. Sorry about that. Never mind. All right, I got a caller that looks like he's calling in on something completely unrelated, Copper, but I'll go ahead and take that call. Line 5, William from Birmingham. How you doing?
Well, actually, I'm in Birmingham, but I am from Raleigh, North Carolina, where I'm a Ted Budd supporter who we're hoping he's going to be a new member of the U.S. Senate for you guys.
Outstanding. How about that? Good timing. Yeah.
I landed in Birmingham today. I represent a national small-budget grassroots organization called Americans for Legal Immigration PAC, and we're here to talk to people across the state of Alabama about this runoff between Mo Brooks and Katie Britt that's coming up on Tuesday. We feel that the voters of Alabama have an opportunity here to send a clear message to the D.C. swamp and the country about border security and Biden-Harris's border disaster. You know, Mo Brooks' record in Congress, he's been one of the top leaders against illegal immigration, against amnesty, and against foreign worker increases.
William. So basically you're using my radio show to call in and read talking points over the air, is that right?
Millions of Republican voters.
Is he still reading, Copper?
Yes, he was.
Okay, is he still? William, are you listening? Are you there?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I mean, I can hear you, and I just want to make sure that I'm just kind of clear. You just basically called into my radio show to read talking points over the air. Is that right?
Oh, no. This is not talking points. It may sound like it. This is me. I do a lot of talk radio interviews, and my friends in Alabama said that your show is one that I should call into to speak to audiences about this very important race that is not only important to the people of Alabama, but to the people of America this Tuesday.
Well, and I don't disagree with that. And we've had Congressman Brooks on the show multiple times. He was on just a few days ago, and Katie Britt has basically declined to come on the show. But the reality is, just tell me in your own perspective. I mean, you're from out of state, but what are you doing here these last few days? Are you going door to door? What are you doing?
Well, you know, I just got through wrestling up a couple votes for Mo Brooks and the Waffle House. Tonight I'm speaking at two events with Republican assemblies and the gathering and places like that. But you know, I'm here from North Carolina. When people hear PAC, you think about all those super PACs out of D.C. that are spending tens of millions of D.C. swamp money to elect Katie Britt, and we're not one of those. If you could see the mileage on my personal vehicle, you would understand that. We're a border security pack that has supported Mo Brooks for years because he has stood up for the American workers and taxpayers against illegal immigration in D.C., and all we just want people to think about that message when they vote on Tuesday.
All right, man. Thank you. Appreciate the call. And real quick again, tell me the name of your PAC.
We are Americans for Legal Immigration or Americans for Less Immigration, which both apply to us at alipac.us.
All right. Thanks for the call, William. Appreciate it. And, you know, I don't mind, folks, we're done, Copper. I don't mind hearing from folks who have an opinion. That one felt a little odd. That felt like a contrived phone call with an opportunity to take advantage of a 800 number into a radio show. But at the same time, I'll just go ahead and say the only reason why I let him continue on, I mean, if he was calling in to try and sell his wares or to, you know, get you to go to a church event next Tuesday that I, you know, hadn't bothered to advertise or whatever else, that'd be a no-go. But the only reason why I let him talk was because he is dealing with an election that is before us. And I fully expect now that if a Katie Britt supporter wants to call in, they can call in and try to say the same thing. Because we're all about equal airtime here. Although, you know, they can take us up on the offer or not, which you can see that Mike Durant and Katie Britt were on the show quite often. I'm sorry, Mike Durant and Mo Brooks. Anyway, and I'll go ahead and say this. You know what? I'm just going to go ahead and say this. It's not like I don't know Katie Britt personally. I do. I know her personally. I think the world of her husband, too. He's a great guy. But I tell you what's been really frustrating to me is that this show is open to the candidates, period. And this show is not a gotcha show. This show is one where we'll ask you a question, but we'll give you a chance to answer. And if we have an opinion that differs from yours, you're welcome to espouse that opinion. But the truth of the matter is, this is not a gotcha show. But I can't tell you how many times over the last 6-7 months, Katie Britt would call me personally and want to talk about things she hoped I would say on the air. But when I would say, Katie, just come on the air and talk about it yourself. No, I don't think so, Phil. I just don't think so. Oh, okay. Well, it's kind of hard for me to get behind that. And I don't endorse candidates. I don't. But I want everybody to understand that as Mo Brooks and Mike Durant came on the show regularly, sometimes they would ask, sometimes I would ask, that the invitation was open to all candidates. Okay, enough of that. Let me jump back on. I tell you what, Copper, it is 2:46. I am about 30 seconds ahead of my usual time frame. Let's do this. Let's go ahead and take the break. I will come back from the break and keep going on Show Me the Money. Unless, of course, we're interrupted by somebody else who wants to talk about their campaign. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. So I am in number one of the Triple Dipper, Show Me the Money. I did my monologue a while ago about how it's amazing to me that the federal government believes that it can get away with agenda-driven withholding of funds or demanding the expenditure of funds only upon things that are agenda-driven. It's like, for instance, infrastructure bills are supposed to build infrastructure. They're not supposed to build agendas. They're not supposed to build the new green energy plan. They're supposed to build roads and bridges. The federal funds for reduced and free lunches for underprivileged children in our schools is not there so that we can force the change of transgender policies at state level. It's not. It's there to feed kids who might not get a meal otherwise. And Medicare is not designed to make sure that every doctor has an anti-racism plan with continued training for its staff to make sure that the inherent biases within the medical community are all addressed. It's not. It's there to make sure that those who are indigent or in need of additional care, or for that matter, who have earned it through their time in the workforce, have medical payments for their medical coverage. I'm just saying, folks, it's amazing to me. But then a minute ago, I told you to, all right, Then we got an issue with things like the irresponsible use of money. So let's take off the agenda piece. What about just, let's flood the market with cash. We had a pandemic. Everybody needs more cash. Well, we got recession now. Oh boy, we got recession because we got a whole lot of cash making a whole lot of demand without a great deal of supply. And that is a recipe for recession. That is certainly a recipe for the 8.6% inflation that we have right now. And yet here I am looking at another article from justthenews.org. Justthenews.org, dated June 13th, so what, 3 days ago. More than $10 billion, billion with a B, $10 billion in fraudulent pandemic relief funds returned to the U.S. government. Okay, now first of all, I guess the good thing is we're looking at some of these funds have been returned. But you can guarantee if they got $10 billion back by recovering fraudulent claims, that they missed a whole lot more than that. So, ahead of a congressional subcommittee hearing being held Tuesday, which is next Tuesday, I believe, the Select Subcommittee on the Coronavirus Crisis announced that over $10 billion worth of fraudulent payments made through federal pandemic relief programs has been recovered and returned to the federal government. Okay, there I go. Like I said, $10 billion, with a B, in fraudulent claims has been recovered. It doesn't say how many are out there. I'm glad they've been recovered, but wow. And of course, the first thing that happened was U.S. Representative James Clyburn, the ranking Democrat on the chairing of the subcommittee, Democrat of South Carolina, extremely partisan individual. First thing he tried to do was blame the Trump administration. Okay, they've been gone for a while. The Trump administration failed to take basic steps to prevent expansive fraud. Okay. Under the Biden administration, federal investigative and law enforcement agencies have been working hard to undo the damage. Okay. Yeah, that's why the last article I just read you says that you use the next one, which was called the ARPA Act under Joe Biden's administration, to send 597,000 payments of $1,400 each to prison inmates. Okay. The U.S. Department of Labor found that there were initially $26 billion worth of improper unemployment payments made as a result of the CARES Act funding. Reports by the Office of the Inspector General found that through multiple federal agencies, more than $100 billion worth of federal pandemic relief money was used for fraudulent purposes. So they've identified, here we go, they've identified $100 billion in fraudulent pandemic relief money claims, and they've received a tenth of that back. It reports that over $10 billion of fraudulent payments have been returned to the federal government, primarily paid back through the Paycheck Protection Program and the COVID-19 Economic Injury Disaster Loan. That's the EIDL. So you had PPP and the EIDL programs to try and help businesses and individuals who lost their jobs. And then it goes on to say this, just as a little teaser thrown in also, dead people, there you go, dead people received $871.9 million in mistaken payments through Medicaid, Social Security, and federal pensions. Yeah, over 4 years, money sent to dead people has cost taxpayers $2.8 billion. You know, I'm just saying, a billion here, a billion there, pretty soon you got real money. Wow. All right, there's more of this stuff, though. I'm not done with this. Don't think I'm done, because I got more. I got a few more things here that we're going to try and cover before I run out of time. Let's see what I can get done here before the break. I got a couple minutes. So Justin Bogey, my friend who's the fiscal analyst over at the Alabama Policy Institute, he wrote a piece that came out just last week. It's called State Government on Pace for Another Record Surplus. Will it give Alabamians a break? So as we talk about the federal government, understand the state government is oftentimes just as guilty. State government, he says, continues to take more money from Alabamians than ever before. Will it use that money to continue the historic expansion of state government or finally take less taxes from citizens? Okay. You want to lay odds on that? As first reported by Alabama Daily News, 2022 is on pace to be another banner year for state government. Yeah. And through the end of May, state revenues totaled nearly $1.4 billion more than they did at this point last year. In other words, we are literally $1.4 billion ahead of last year's record revenue collection. The state has already collected almost $8.7 billion in gross revenues, he says. And by the way, he's a fiscal analyst that used to work for the state legislative fiscal office. He knows the deal. And it said with 4 months remaining in the fiscal year, because it ends in October, that revenue surplus is going to continue to grow. And if current trends hold, he says lawmakers will have another historic opportunity to reduce taxes. All right. Are they going to reduce our taxes? Are they going to do something that would benefit us in that regard? I'm going to break that down for you a little bit more. Number one of the Triple Dipper, show me the money. All right. We'll talk about it when I get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned.